Well, good evening. Everybody having a good week so far? Anybody lose anything? We're gonna talk about losing things tonight. Help! I've misplaced my love. That's what we're gonna talk about tonight. John chapter 13. You ever, as you turn there, have you ever misplaced something only to find the keys are on the other side of the door? Or your glasses were actually on your face? We were at Sam's Club, I believe it was, somewhere, I can't remember. And with my truck, I did not know Michelle had her keys with her, but I had pulled, sometimes I take my wallet and my keys out and put them in the dash in the middle so I don't have to sit on them or be in my way. And we got out and Michelle happened to have her keys, but if she did not have her keys, my door wouldn't have locked because the key's inside. But since she had her keys, I didn't know she had her keys, it locked. She didn't know she had her keys. So we make our way over to the store, and I'm patting around figuring, okay, where's my keys? And I thought, oh, man, I've locked my keys in the car. Wait a minute, they're not supposed to lock. I remember pushing the button, it went down, it locked. So I was a bit of a panic, and I went back trying to get it undone, and Michelle's over there waiting on me. And then she came over to help me. And about the time she comes over close enough in the range of the truck, as I'm by the truck, it unlocks. And we figure out that she had the keys with us. But for a moment there, I was a big panic. I thought I had lost control. And I think sometimes if we think about it, I'm going to talk about seven things we have time tonight in reference to things of lost love, things that maybe we should not love because of our loss for the love that we should have for the Lord, that maybe something else has taken its place. So let's look at John chapter 13. I wanted to do something tonight, but I wasn't sure what kind of response I would get. How many of you grew up in children's church? You went to children's church when you were growing up. How many of you in their youth group? How many of you remember having sword drills? Yeah. I was wondering, maybe we'll have sword drills, and then when I call the scripture verse in our study, whoever finds it first can stand or read it or just read it, and we'll go that way. But you can't do it. You can't be the winner twice in a row. You know, if you win one, you got to set out the next. And then you come back in the next and go through it. I thought we'd have a little fun in our study. And so, but I'll start with a text in John 13, John chapter 13. When I get later to the text, I'll name it twice. I'll give the scripture twice and I'll say go. And then you look for the scripture. Whoever gets it first, you can either stand or you can start reading it. But if someone else starts before you do, don't read over them. Let them finish. And then we'll see how that goes. I wasn't sure. I've done this several times in the past. And some groups really enjoy doing it, others do not. Our teenagers at the former church was at always enjoyed it because they win most of the time except for when Miss Michelle was there. John chapter 13 and verse 1. And we'll read this passage of scripture, have a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Father, bless the reading of thy word tonight in our time of study and a little time of having a little fun, but Lord, but also applying scripture and points to help us, to remind us in reference to asking ourselves the question, have I misplaced the kind of love that I should have for the Lord, for others, instead of things, instead of self? Bless our Lord, Father, our time together in Jesus' name. Oh, amen. Some might call that misplaced love, or since we are not very lovable, but yet that misplaced love. And we're going to look at seven as we have time tonight. Number one, seven misplaced areas of love. Number one, love of self. Love of self. Are we misplaced a love that we should have in the direction of the Lord and toward others because we're too busy loving ourselves? So I'll give you passages of scripture we'll read. I'll say it twice and say go. 2 Timothy 3:2. 2 Timothy 3:2, go. You got to read it loud. Notice that. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Again, that misplaced love, that love of self, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Are we not living in that age today? Maybe waxing worse and worse. Now, It's so normal to love ourselves that Jesus says, love thy neighbor as thyself. That's hard to do sometimes unless your neighbors are your grandkids. Sometimes it's hard, but we are to consider them. We're to look to them and remind ourselves. They may not be the best of neighbors, but my behavior is not dependent upon how they behave. I'm to do the right thing, period. And set the example, do what we can. I was out in the yard the other day, and a young man down the road, across the street, three houses down, and I was getting something out of the yard. He was just waving, going like this to get my attention. I believe he's a handicapped young man. And I looked, and he hollers out, are you a new neighbor? I said, yes, I am. What is your name? He says, I'm Abraham. I said, hey, Abraham, that's a great Bible name. He just smiled real big and said, yes, it is. And about that time, his mom said, get in the car. I think they were already trying to go somewhere. I'm looking forward later to meeting neighbor Abraham, but I think he'll associate me as being friendly, and I'll have an opportunity to talk with him and his family. Now, not only love of self, another misplaced error would be love of money. Love of money. Again, I'll say the scripture verse twice, but don't turn, don't look until I say go. 1 Timothy 6:10. 1 Timothy 6:10, go. Man! Go ahead, Christian. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from their faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I tell you what, you cannot buy happiness. Some people think, well, if I just had a few more dollars, if I just had a little more, I can't believe my neighbor, man. I've got a two, he's got a three-car garage. Why is it only two? We get so consumed over those other things and a love of money, more, more, more. It's never enough. And how can we love the Lord? How can we love our neighbor the way we should if we're more concerned about money? If we're more concerned about things. Don't misunderstand me. There's nothing wrong with having things. What the problem is we don't realize who it belongs to. It comes to a point of me, my mind. I've done my best to teach my children. I've done my best as well. And it comes to money that everything I own, no matter how hard it is to fold my wallet or how easy it is, whatever's in here belongs to him. Even to the point that I've come to when I open my wallet at church for a love offering, I always say this to myself, Lord, how much of your money that I'm holding do you want me to give? Because it belongs to him. And he can very well replace it, or he can very well take it at the mechanic or for tires or whatever the case may be. But where is our love? The love of self, the love of money. I wanted to pick on someone tonight, but they're not here. So I don't know if I should change the names to make it more fun or just read it as I wrote it in reference to the love of money. Here's a love letter. Dearest Daryl, no words could ever express the great unhappiness I have felt since breaking our engagement. Please say that you'll take me back. No one could ever take your place in my heart. Please forgive me. I love you. I love you. I love you. Yours forever, Margot. P.S. Congratulations on winning the state lottery. Now, if that's not an illustration of the love of money, I don't know what is. Some people will do anything to get their hands on just a little bit more. The love of money, the love of self, and then number three. Well, I've got a little poem here. Let me read it from number three. Where your treasure is, there will your hearts be also. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray my brand new car to keep. I pray my stocks are on the rise and that my analyst is wise. The racquetball won't get too tough and that my sushi's fresh enough. I pray my cell phone always works, that my career won't lose its perks. My microwave won't radiate and my condo won't depreciate. I pray my health club doesn't close and that my money market grows. If I go broke before I wake, I pray my Lincoln they won't take. Sometimes people are just so consumed about money and more. Again, there's nothing wrong with having it. If God has entrusted you with it, I trust and pray that you're using it for his honor and his glory and for his purpose that he would have you to use. Then we have number three, the love of praise. The love of praise. Here we go. Remember, don't open your Bible till I say go. John 12:43, go. Mm-hmm. Think about that. Let that sink in really well. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Here's a good illustration example. A young boy playing a GameCube says, "Daddy, I'll play. You watch me and say, good job." I mean, after all, today, athletes and sports, not on a professional level, everyone gets a trophy. Everyone wants a pat on the back. But then again, at the same time, we need to remember that aspect. It's good to praise our children. It's good to praise our spouse. It's good to praise those when they do things right, at the same time showing them and helping them when they do wrong. But where does our praise belong to primary? It belongs to Him. When's the last time do we praise our family or others or people more than we praise God? Now, I don't want to step on any toes, and I'll just say quickly, we'll go on. If God is good to us, God is good to you, there shouldn't be a service on a Wednesday night when we're having testimonies and prayer requests that we can't praise God for something. Think about it for a moment. Praising and giving testimonies is not only a blessing to ourselves, but the blows around us, but we're lifting up God for His goodness. It's an act of worship to praise God. It's an act of worship to recognize Him. Encouraging words are fine, but praise is like perfume. It's okay to sniff it a little, just don't swallow. It's okay to praise others, but remember where all the praise belongs to. It belongs to Him. You see, there are two kinds of people, those who do the work and those who take the credit. Try to be in the first group. There's a lot less competition there. Think about that for a moment. Work behind the scenes, not just up on the stage. It's a wonderful thing to know that there's people that come that are here early in many churches around the world doing little things that nobody ever recognizes. I remember, I need to move on, but let me get this illustration, I'll move on. Where a church I was in on staff years ago where I got saved at and is doing it like an intern or there on staff, there's a gentleman in the church who retired from, I think he might have been from Arizona. His name was Charlie Brown. And he was about yay tall. And he came around the church every day, never paid nothing, never asked for anything, coming around to pick up the church parking lot. We had a Christian school. He would go and get things ready for the school, make sure the air was turned on. And he would literally go into the auditorium, and they had a shag carpet. He would literally rake the carpet all in one direction so it looked like it was standing up before service when we began, before chapel for the schools. He found an old closet that was full of junk, and he asked the preacher, "Hey, if I clean it out, can I have that closet?" And he goes, "Sure." Pastor decided he had some things he wanted to put in there. He put him in a little desk and a little chair and a little bitty mop broom closet and put a light in and called it his office because he knew no one would know. He kept very low key, but that was Brother Charlie. He didn't want the praise of men, and he would tell you, the first time I saw him doing that racket, I said, "Charlie, what are you doing?" "I'm just having a little time praising my Savior, getting ready the sanctuary for our next service. I can't wait to see what God's going to do." And he would just whistle and sing as he raked that carpet. He was a widow. His wife had passed away. He was retired, and he spent a lot of time around the house of the Lord, not to get praise, but to give praise. Number four, the love of the world. Love of self, the love of money, the love of praise. 1 John 2:15, go. Love of the world. Yes, ma'am, Miss Carol.
"Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him."
See, there's no way that we can love the world and the things of the world and love God. There's God, He has to be supreme. And we get too drawn into the things of the world, we're not going to be loving the Lord the way we should. Here's another good illustration I found that fits good here. A scuba diver is in the water, but breathes the air which is from above. He takes his environment with him. Friend, do you take breaths of heaven when you go out into the world with you? Do we take that home that we know that's there for us one day? As the Lord returns, that trump sounds, or we take our last breath. But until then, are we taking that heavenly breath, that heavenly things, and sharing it in the world we live, as opposed to taking the things of the world with us where we go? Do you bring the world into your home, your head, into God's house? I mean, it's one of those things that's amen or oh me, right? How do we handle that? The love of self, the love of money, the love of praise, love of the world. And number five, love of pleasure, love of pleasure. 2 Timothy 3:4, go. Yes, sir. Right? Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Where does the Lord rank in our life and love? What are the things that we love the most? Do you give God as much time as we give to our television? What if you read your Bible and prayed a half an hour during your lunch break? Or even if you're retired at home? Which do you choose, church or hobby? I have both. We all have hobbies. Again, both are fine. But when it comes head to head, who wins and who gets tossed in the back seat? Where's the radio turned to? Christian or something of the world? Again, that aspect of taking it with us. How about food? Do we eat to live or live to eat? Oh, me, I have to say. But where's that balance and that aspect of the love of pleasure? It's okay to enjoy things. But let's make sure there's that balance, or the things that we love is more of Him and not of self and not of self-pleasing. How about giving? Where do we choose to put our money? How do we choose to invest in things of the excess that we have? Do we spend more monies on other things or on things of the Lord and reaching others and giving to our local church? These are days of selfish love and self-gratification that we live in today. We never receive as much pleasure as when we focus on pleasing others. I have learned, and I've been around, this is the most that we've been around any of our grandchildren since they've been born, the three youngest here. And I enjoy it. It is very pleasurable for me to be around those girls. But I also know that my balance in spending time with them and my daughter and my wife, and that balance of knowing that pleasure is there for my enjoyment, the Lord has provided, but I want to make sure they don't jump the line ahead of my relationship with the Lord. Keep things in perspective. Love of self, love of money, love of praise, love of the world, love of pleasure. Number six, love of darkness. We're almost done. One more. Love of darkness. John 3:19, go. Go ahead and read verse 22, please. Making decisions in the dark can lead to some regrettable consequences. The Bible refers to the Word of God, as I said Sunday, being a light in our path. Darkness, men love darkness rather than light. And dear friends, the Word of God is to be that light in our path. A darkness that represents sin. As you know, how much is done in darkness. How much is done, even the physical darkness of the world, how much is done in darkness? Another example, some of you will find this humorous, speaking of darkness. Back in the day before electricity, a tight-fisted old farmer was taking his hired man to task for carrying a lighted lantern when he went to call on his best girl. Why, he claimed, when I went to courting, I never carried one of those things. I always went in the dark. And the hired hand said, yes. And look at your wife. Sorry, ladies, I'm just having fun. You know, the Word of God will help us see things that the physical eye and the fleshly eye cannot see. It will make things come alive for us. It will allow us to see things in a whole different light. And that's what the Bible's talking about, men loving darkness rather than light. You know, we read about the Sodomites, and we read about other passages with Abraham. And what is it? It's almost they were fumbling around in the darkness, grasping at things. Darkness. It also represents sin in the Word of God. And God has provided for us the light of His Son, the light of the Word. And we need to let it be a part of our life and absorb it in our ear gate, the eye gate. Hear it, see it, apply it. Because the psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart." I believe that it's not referring to this heart. I believe it's referring to the heart of our mind. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God." What's the best thing to do when you're tempted? Go back to scripture that you've memorized. Go back to the word of God to help you. Where to run from it, where to flee from it, James tells us. Number seven. Love of myself, love of money, love of praise, love of the world, love of pleasure, love of darkness. And then finally tonight, love lost. Love lost. Matthew 24, 12. This is the last one. Matthew 24, 12. Go. That's the first book of the... "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Let us try, as we begin with our text, as the Lord, to love others the way Jesus does. We began with now, therefore, the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was yet come, that he should depart out of this world into the Father. And he says, "Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." To the very end. Dear friends, do we have a love lost for others? Do we love others in the same way that Christ loves them? If I'm honest with you, I would be hard-pressed for me to try to love some others like I love my grandbabies or my kids. But the Bible says we are to love like Christ loves. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we need a little help. But we should ask the Lord to help us. "Lord, help me to love them the way you would love them. Father, help me to reach out to them in a way that they would recognize it's only something that our Lord could do." It's difficult. It is. But I believe when we have not misplaced our love, and when our love is the right place, because I've learned when we're right this way, it's so easy to be right this way. When we're not right this way, it's pretty hard to be right this way. And we do that by not just loving him, but by loving the others that are around us. Sometimes it's a little harder. There are some that are a little harder to love, but it makes no difference because God loves us all the same, and he is no respecter of persons. Have we lost our love? Have we misplaced our love? Is it where it should and where it needs to be? And I believe when it is this way, it makes it so much easier out here and ministering and loving and reaching others. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we do thank you for your goodness, the blessings and the joy of service. Lord, I pray, Lord, if we dismiss and we'll have a time of fellowship with one another and the trustees will get together for a meeting they have tonight, I pray that you would bless them. Lord, I pray that you'd give them clarity of thought and mind and conversation. I pray that you'd help us tonight as we take the word of God and that misplaced love, that we'll evaluate ourselves in that aspect. If we misplace any part, do we love self and pleasure or anything other more than we love you? And Father, help us to remind us ourselves of those things. And Father, I think sometimes the best way to help remember is to have a time each and every day where we just praise you for your goodness. Father, help us to love one another, to love those around us, and Father, help us to put you first in loving you above all things and asking your help to love those that are around us. Now, Father, bless us with your love as we dismiss. May you be uplifted and glorified through this week. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless our time and our work schedules this week and bring us back again on Sunday on the Lord's Day. Father, again, we do pray that you be with Brother Gray as he preached tonight there at Lighthouse. Be with Brother Emmanuel as he's traveled to North Carolina. Lord, I pray that you've even already prepared the hearts of his father, Lord. He'll be receptive to the gospel that he's heard so many times, but there'll be something different about this time. Father, you know the need. Give him wisdom. And Lord, we pray that you prepare his heart. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, I know it's a little earlier than normal, but I know the men's have a meeting.